want me to bring the reading, which is from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. John 3, verses 1 to 21. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." Amen.
There's one thing that we all have in common this morning. We've all had a mother. We've all been born. And here in John's Gospel, Jesus is talking about the whole question of birth. So this passage from the Gospel is relevant to all of us. All of us here, all of us here have had an earthly birth. And Jesus is talking here about a heavenly birth. He's talking about light and darkness. People are often heard to say that folk who give their lives to Jesus are ignorant or uneducated, and that they do so just out of fear. But here in this chapter, we see Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a scholar, a ruler of the Jews, a man of authority. He came to Jesus by night to speak to him on his own. He didn't want any witnesses to the conversation. He did come by night, but after the crucifixion, he witnessed to Jesus publicly. So that grain of mustard seed actually grew into a great tree. Nicodemus doesn't beat about the point, doesn't beat about the bush. He comes straight to the point. He addresses Jesus as a great man, a rabbi. He says, "We know that you are a great teacher, a teacher from God." This is important because it implies that he and others acknowledge divine inspiration and authority. And here was Nicodemus, a public figure of the establishment, a theologian, sensible, judicious, inquisitive. But notice this, he's fully satisfied that Jesus had performed real miracles, miracles that only God could do. Therefore, as far as he and a few others were concerned, Jesus must have come from God. Yes, Jesus affirms that he has come from God, but he tells Nicodemus that if he wants to enter the kingdom of God, he must be born again. Thank you. Thanks. You heard Nicodemus' response. How can an old man be born again? How can he enter into his mother's womb? Nicodemus was drawn to the light at that moment, but he wasn't able to leave the darkness. And Jesus tells him that if he really wants to enter the kingdom of God, he must be born again. He must be born of water and the Spirit. You'll recall that when Jesus was questioned by the authorities about his authority, he challenged them, asking them, was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? It was a matter of ordinary water, but the result was and is an act of God, an act from above. And Nicodemus, like so many others, were blind to the reality of any action from above, any godly action, and therefore couldn't entertain the possibility of any action of the Spirit. Jesus said this, what is born of flesh is flesh. So what is flesh? Flesh denotes the whole of our being insofar as it seeks to organize itself. Flesh chooses to exist in its own power. Flesh chooses to be apart, separate from the presence and power of God. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Flesh does not evolve into spirit. We cannot receive the Spirit by human reason, by regular Sunday attendance, by human understanding, or theological debate. We cannot see the wind. We know it's there, don't we? We can hear it, we can see the result of its action, but we cannot actually see wind. And the same is true of the Spirit. We can physically see the Spirit. We cannot physically see the Spirit, but we know from the experience of believers' new birth and changed lives that He's here. The Spirit is here. We cannot see God, but we know and believe that He exists through what He's done and is continuing to do. God is known to us by His actions. He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this is an act of love, which reaches out to everyone. Everyone, however they are, whether unlovely, unlovable, or whatever, God reaches out to them. God is love in action. The Hindus say that God is unknown and unknowable. But we as Christians know that we can know the reality of God. We can have a relationship with God. We can hear God speaking to us. The love of God is addressed to men and women who choose to receive it. For those who do not believe and refuse to accept the gift, they are choosing death, not life. The phrase that keeps coming out to me is this: if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. I know that most of the world believes in a God. You look at the percentages, it's amazing. A vast majority of people in the world believe in God. But amazingly, at the same time, they refuse to accept Jesus, the Son of God, as Lord and Saviour. They choose to be separate from God in a very real sense. Often we see Christian folks struggling to grow in their faith. Sometimes because, like Nicodemus, they have not received the Holy Spirit. They are not in touch with God. And sometimes because they are fearful or frightened that what God's going to say to them or do to them or ask them to do. Sometimes it is just straight fear, fear of the unknown. God might ask them to do something they don't want to do. If that is the case, they're saying to God, I don't trust you. A very dangerous position to be in. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, Jesus encourages his disciples to seek God with the promise that those who seek will find. Those who seek will find. He goes on in verse 11. What if you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is the one who advises us, who guides us through our behavior, how we react to people, about the decisions we make. He works through our consciences. For those seeking guidance, he gives advice. For some folk I know, he's their accountant. But it is the Holy Spirit who brings scripture to life for us. He is the one who helps us when we don't know how to pray. He is the one who gives us wisdom. He is the one who gives us patience and all the other godly gifts that we get and receive through the Holy Spirit. One point that we often miss in John's Gospel is this. Jesus is pointing Nicodemus forward to the time of his death on the cross, to his resurrection and ascension, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. so that we can be born again and have a new life in every sense. It's all about giving our lives to Jesus. It's our choice, putting all our faith and trust in him. People can and do let us down. God won't. God doesn't. And what God says, God does. Jesus knew how he's going to die. Hence the reference to the lifting up of the snake by Moses in the wilderness. You remember the Israelites in the desert had sinned against God and against Moses, and all these venomous snakes came into the area where they were, into the desert. And all those who were bitten by them died. Moses prayed urgently, remember, for the people. And God told him to make a bronze snake and hold it up high on a pole so that all who looked at it, if they'd been bitten, would live. And this is what happened. So consider this, because of sin, Jesus was nailed to a cross and held up high so that all who believe in him will live. Get the point? Those who look to Jesus will live. Those who won't, die. Why? Because the cross could not hold Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead and he conquered the devil. Jesus' words are all about eternal life. He's the only one who can offer that. Verse 19, we see Jesus being the light, darkness being the evil. It's one of the reasons I worry about some churches who meet and worship in semi-darkness, almost total darkness. I believe it just gives out the wrong message. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus wants us to walk in the light. A song we often sing here is about a lighthouse sending out light into the darkness. And that's just what Jesus does. 2 Corinthians 4:6. God made his light shine into our hearts to give us a light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. 1 Peter 2:9. God called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Darkness is not of God. God is spirit. So if we want to relate to God, we must be born of the spirit, so that we can have conversations with God, spirit to spirit. Corruption and sin are woven into our nature, whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not. It's a fact. Corruption and sin are woven into our nature, passed down from the beginning of human creation. We all need Jesus. Whatever the world says, it's not enough to settle for doing good works. A lot of people do. They do lots of good things. Who gets the glory? God or man? It's not enough coming to church in a new coat or putting on a new face. We must put on Christ. We must be born again. The well-known verse, chapter 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it, but through him to save it. I'm certain that Nicodemus didn't get the message when he's speaking to Jesus. But we do know that he did later on. Because in fact, in the whole of this conversation, the death of Jesus is a key event. The day of Jesus' crucifixion is generally known as Good Friday. I think it's brilliant that it was always called Good Friday. And so it is, because it's good news for everyone who wants to believe in God. It's good news. Many see it as a bad Friday, Jesus being crucified, mourning, grieving, and so on. But surely for all of us who believe, we know what it costs God, but we should be celebrating what Jesus has done for us. It should be a time of celebration for what Jesus has done for us. He is paying the price for all our sins on the cross. Look at it. If Jesus had not died there on the cross, there is no other way that our sins could ever be forgiven. We'd still be lost and facing an eternity, totally separated from God. Now, I think so often we lose sight of the words from John's Gospel. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn it. I know so many people sort of look at the Ten Commandments with the thou shalt nots, which I'm sure you all know. And many times I've said to people, look at the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. If we do that, the other commandments we can take as promises. Because if we're walking with God, we're not going to do all those things. We're not going to lie. We're not going to cheat. We're not going to go around beating people up. So important we get that right. Jesus came to save the world. And those who do not believe are already condemned. But there's good news. It's not too late. It is not too late. Jesus came to save. If you say that you don't believe, it's a sin against the remedy of what God is offering. To deny Jesus is a sin. He came to save, not to condemn, to save us from the consequences of our sinful lives. Why do folk find it so hard to put faith in Jesus? What are they frightened of? Is it so hard for people to want to be good? What's the problem? Do people prefer darkness to light? Preferring evil to good? Or is it they think in God's eyes they're good enough already, that they don't need God? Some say it's about money. And Jesus said, when talking about the light, said this, "You cannot serve God and money." Is that what it's all about? It is perhaps that all the bad things in the world seem so tempting, pleasing self rather than pleasing God, rather like Eve in the Garden of Eden. That apple looks so tempting. This all points forward to Jesus' work here on earth. We must be born again if we want to enter the kingdom of God. It's a time to celebrate. Celebrate the glory and the victory of Jesus. Remember, Good Friday is good news, not bad news. Because of his death, we can all stand forgiven. We could all be reconciled to God the Father. Because of Jesus' resurrection and ascension, we have the promise of spending eternity with him. We have the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, born with the water baptism and born of the Holy Spirit. It's all about living in the light of Christ. But as Jesus said, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who loves evil hates the light. Giving one's life to Christ is great. It's a step of faith. We belong to God in all his fullness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we choose to live a Christian life, we know what to do. We know how to live. We know how to pray. We know how to behave. Being a good theologian, being a regular churchgoer, being a civic leader, or a clever person, being well versed in Scripture doesn't mean that we can skip being born again. I can't understand why people don't want to be. And this morning, as we hear God's word again this morning, can you feel the love of God in your heart? We often lose sight of that. God loves you so much. He wants you to give your life to him in all its fullness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He came to save you. If you wonder about how much does he love you, look at the cross, the price that Jesus paid for you, each one of us individually. He wants us to receive his love now, today, to be at the center of our lives now, today. Jesus wants us to have a new life with him. The world tells us to put our faith in governments, in politicians, in good causes, in money, in property, in people, in the occult, in film stars and footballers. In fact, anything but God. That is the way of the world. That is not God's way. Put your faith in Jesus, be baptized, be born again, and receive the Holy Spirit. That way we can walk in the ways of holiness and righteousness before God. You have nothing to lose. It's a win-win situation. Jesus was lifted up on the cross and died for you so that you can receive God's love. You can have peace with God. You can have peace in your life. Isn't that what we want? I do. It's a simple choice. Do you want good or do you want bad? Jesus, Son of God, or the so-called delights of the world? And today, again, God gives you a free choice.
Thank you, Francis.